John 21. These things Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. And there were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. This part right there, just a minute. He didn't call their names, and so don't be upset if yours don't get called. It's not about me and you. It's all about Him. As long as He knows we're there, that's all that matters. And I don't see nobody here got the baddest pooch lip because somebody didn't identify them. And I love people like that that are sort of on the background doing what God's called them to do. They ain't got feelings in the way. Don't put your feelings in the way. You won't do much for God if you're going to wear feelings on your shoulders. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I got this great idea. I capitalize that. Underline it, because the Holy Ghost capitalized it. I go fishing. And then they said to Him, we also go with you. Now, it's bad enough you go by yourself, but I notice them folks that go fishing, instead of catching, they liable to take somebody with them. Say, we going with you. Be careful who you go around with. And it'd do you good to go and sit down. I'm going to be preaching a while. It'd do you good sort of change where you sit at every now and then in the church house. That way, if this pew gets mad at your church, it won't take four pews out with them. Hello. We also go with you. They went forth and entered the ship immediately. That night, they caught nothing. I've been there a few times. When the morning was now come, see, I thought I was doing pretty good, Brother Adam, till light shined on what I was doing. Morning's come now. Hey, you may be having a good time right now doing what you want to, but you wait till light shines in on what you're doing. Boy, ain't it a blessing when God shines His light and shows us we just ain't got what we thought we had. Nothing. Oh Lord. I'd run out in the highway, but folks would sure label us for sure then, wouldn't they? Ain't that amazing now? When light shined on it, it showed them what they had. Ain't you glad one day that God, the Holy Ghost, shined down on your world and showed you that you didn't have what you thought that you had? I'd been baptized, joined the church. That didn't mean I was going to heaven. Just because I walk in McDonald's don't mean I'm a Big Mac. Bible says you must be born again by the good grace of God tonight. So I sure am glad that Jesus can shine the light on our situation. And He shined the light on it and they got honest. And I'm going to tell you, when you're going to get help, it's when you get honest with the light. Boy, I'm glad. Thank God He shined the light on me one day. So then they stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, He used this Bible word that helps us, children. Now, I want to show you how good Jesus is. Now, the same church in Laodicea Revelation chapter number 3, that Laodicean church, the same church that makes God sick, that's what He said. See, I spew you out of my mouth, I vomit you out of my mouth, because you're neither cold nor hot. He hates complacency, church. Help me preach tonight. Help your preacher tonight. He hates complacency. You say, well, I'm a 5 or 6. We make God sick. He said, I wish you were cold or hot. He said, because you're not cold or hot, I spew you out of my mouth. That word, look it up. It means to vomit. The same church that makes God sick. You'll notice at the end of the chapter, Jesus is knocking on it, wanting in. And ain't that just like our lovely Lamb of Glory? He had told these disciples in chapter number 20, He said, I want you to stay till you're empowered from on high before you make a move. Peter got impatient. And he took things upon his own. Saying, you know, when I get in trouble, when I do what I want to do, you better wait on the Lord. And so, in spite of what they've done, He called them children. I'm glad He loves us. Listen, it don't matter what we do if we're a child of God. He loves us. He might not like what we do it, but He loves us. And I feel so good tonight, I can just lap the building. I'm glad He loves us. Children, have you any meat? And they did the greatest thing they ever done. They got honest with the Lord. Have you ever got honest with the Lord? Matter of fact, you're never going to get no help until you get honest. They simply said, I like what they said. So refreshing. I wish some Baptist was that way. No. Are you going to come church Sunday? No, I ain't. That'd be so refreshing. So refreshing. Instead of, yeah, me and Brother Mike seen somebody this way. I said, you told me you was coming to church. He said, well, I'm going to go and tell you. I might come. I said, well, that helps me better than to lie to me, amen. No. You know, a lot of times it's hard to say no, isn't it? I mean, really, isn't it hard sometimes to look in when Jesus asks us a question and we get honest and I'm going to tell you something. This hurt their ego. This hurt their feelings. I thank the Lord He has a way of how to get into what He wants done. And He said, children, I just want to ask y'all something. What y'all got? They said, we ain't got nothing. He said, I want to know. He said, would you cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. Now every place, just like what Sister Patsy sung about a while ago, every promise that He's ever made, He's let it come to pass. But a lot of times it's up to us whether it comes to pass or not. We love to blame things on the Lord, but really He's not to be blamed. It's us that needs to be blamed. And so He said, if you'll just cast the net on the right side of the ship, you shall find. And they cast therefore. Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, I want to say tonight that there is something in that text that has really stood up with me this evening. And I love preaching about it. And I want you to hear me out tonight. I want you to really try to digest in the next 20 or 25 minutes what I want to say in this little passage. When Jesus said, cast on the right side of the ship a light come on with me, and this is what I want to do. I want to be right this time. I've been on the left too many times. I've done things my way too many times. You know what the Lord will let you do? He'll let you fall and hurt yourself. And you know, some of us, we don't learn until we've got road rash. But now when you jerk that bandage off of there, and that hide comes off, it's more apt to get our attention. Now, I don't know about y'all. I'm 52 years old. That's a young man. And just keep all your little qualms to yourself. I'm doing the best I can do what I got to do with. But I want to tell you this now. I have found out that there's some things I want to be right about. And first of all, I want to be right in council. Where would they have been, Brother Jake, if they had said, Lord, We ain't got nothing. Would you lead us to something? You know, everybody's got advice, but the Lord has counsel. Did you know this, men? This Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs, in the multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. Boy, at times, if I think something sounds good, I need to get some Holy Ghost-filled men around me and say, what you think? Oh my, I want to be right on counsel. I want to be sure I get the right instructions. I'm tired of being tired. This last week, God just let me get out of a fix that I put myself in for about 8 long years. He let me learn that, Brother Adam, as you preach this morning, everything that glitters, it ain't gold. And boy, it's a relief when you see God answer a prayer. And you say, Brother Ken, what'd you learn in 8 years? Well, I'm going to tell you, I think this is the 6th year in full-time ministry. Boy, I have learned something, a very valuable lesson. Lord, if it's Your will, and if it ain't Your will, I don't want no part of it. It'll help you and it'll help your family. I want to be right on counsel. Jesus said, what y'all got? They said, well, we ain't got nothing. He said, now, in verse 3, they went out fishing all night. They'd caught nothing. And the morning's come, light shined on what they was doing. And Jesus asked them that question, have you any meat? They said, no. And He said, well, cast it on the right side and you shall find. And when they did, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Boy, I want to be right on counsel. Number 2, I want to be right on conflicts. You know, it's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. It's not who they call you, it's who you answer to. And boy, people everywhere is just always wanting to start something. But I want to be right on conflict. Now, I want to say it's a big difference. Always remember this now. There's a big difference in protection and retaliation. Always remember that. And in Matthew 5 and verse 38, where I want to pull this thought from this evening, Matthew 5 and 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I was raised up around that crowd. If you whoop me tomorrow, watch out for Tuesday. Especially if they stick a stove wood laying around. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite ye on your right cheek. Now, I didn't write this. Turn to him the other also. Again, it's a big difference in protection and retaliation. If people break in your house to harm your family, I believe you've got the God-given right to protect your family. But it's bad in this day, in this liberal world, they'll lock you up for protecting your family. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, now this is hard right here. Let him have thy cloak also. Sound like to me there's a God in heaven that does paybacks better than we can. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile. I like what Brother Eddie Davis preached out of that. That was a great sermon. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile. I want to elaborate on this thought and refresh your memory. Has anybody even went a mile with somebody? much less two. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. Ye've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Underline this now. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, our problem is ego. Boy, when somebody throws mud on us, we love to get in that mud. And you always remember this, friend. If you're slanging mud, you're losing ground. Is anybody listening to the preacher tonight? Brother Dana, Miss Esther, I wish y'all could have been with me. We was up in the West Virginia mountains. Had a tent revival going on this summer. Man, I'm country boy, you know. I seen a clap of thunder and a big cloud boil up. You know what that means to a boy? Been raised in the country, like the old Indian, rain's coming. Well, I headed for the truck. Sure enough, I'm telling you, it rained frogs. And they pulled the car down close to the tent to get somebody in. It got stuck. Brother Dana and Miss Esther, good as they are, they got behind that car trying to help, and it went to about that time they give it gas. And they walked into the Waffle House there to meet me and Brother Alan Kirk. And bless their heart, they look like homeless bridge people. I mean, Miss Esther's hair was down. I could barely recognize her, mud all over her desk. He looked like he'd been in a hog calling somewhere. And failed. What are you saying? You know, ain't that just like me and you? We get all messed up. And the first thing we do, we don't want to go get it cleaned off. We want to retaliate. Boy, I want to be right on conflict more than anything in my life. You know what I've done notice serving God? Everybody's not going to approve of what you do. And Mom and Daddy's listening to me. When you've got to make decisions for your house, everybody's not going to be on board with it. But you've got to do what your God wants you to do. I want to be right. It's amazing to me how a soft answer turneth away wrath. It's amazing. Man, I want to be right at conflict. I think so much how Jesus handled so much opposition. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he never opened his mouth. That thief on the cross cried and said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." He didn't open his mouth. I think a lot of times I'd be a lot better off if me and you'd just learn, let them talk and go on and be a blessing to who we can be a blessing to. Matter of fact, if we just go to hunting to be a blessing instead of hunting to be a bawling out, we sure would get a lot further in life, wouldn't we? Always remember this. If somebody's kicking you in the backside, you're in front of them. You hear me? Let them kick all they want to. You're ahead. And so, I want to be right on conflict. I want to say this. I want to be right at conflict at my house. I hate fussing with my wife. Y'all little henpecked looking rascal. You say I ain't henpecked. Yeah, you got hen house ways. So many times, you know, you want to have the last word. Won't you try, "Well, I'm sorry." You go a long way. Boy, I love everything great where I live. Don't want any kind of conflict. I don't want conflict with my girls, my son-in-laws, my family. I don't want no conflicts with people in my church. I don't want no conflicts down at the store where I buy my meal. I just don't want no conflict. I want to be on the right side of conflict. And if we would handle things how the Bible tells us, I think we'd come way out ahead on things.
You know, anybody can pick up a stick of stove wood, knock somebody in the head, and go to jail. I'm your preacher. Y'all looking at me like there's a visiting evangelist. I done found out you'll never go wrong doing right. Look what he said for them that despitefully use you. Don't throw mud at them. And I know it's hot. When somebody's put their mouth on you and it comes up where you can slam them, it's hard not to say something. Help me now. Y'all look at me like I've just come out of preacher college somewhere tonight. Man, I've been your preacher a long time. And I'm telling you, I want to be right in conflict. Because you know what I've done found out? When you're on the right side, you're on the winning side. Am I preaching tonight? Then, not only want to be right on cancel, right on conflict, I want to be right about my conscience. Conscience. Acts 24:16. Conscience is a big thing. I sure am glad that mine is very active. You know, the Bible speaks of a seared conscience. A lot of people walk around that seared conscience. In other words, things don't bother them that used to bother them. Their conscience have been seared with a hot iron. Boy, I believe here one of the greatest things that has been stated. He says, verse 16 of Acts 24, "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." I want to say something right here. There was a man, neither one of them are here tonight, so I want to say this, because I know, I don't like finding out about things because they come up in my sermon. But a lot of times people needs to know. The Bible says, "Rebuke before all that others may fear." There was an indication or situation that a man owed another member a good bit of money in our church. He came to me and I said, "Well, let's just pray about it." He said, "Well, preacher, it bothers me. He owes me that money, and now he's went and he's done this and spent a lot more money. Why didn't he pay me?" I said, "Well, I don't know, but we just need to pray." "And why'd you say my conscience would bother me?" My conscience would bother me. If I've done something that's not right, I've got to lay down with something in me that's a conscience. Now, I like what one of the old men that I studied after said this. He said, "The conscience is God's watchdog of the soul. And buddy, when you lay down, he goes to barking on the cover at you." I remember one time I was up preaching. I was preaching like this. The Holy Ghost illuminated something in me that I had to go back to Tennessee and do. When I was a young man, 16, I had a job in a convenience store. And so I would slip my buddy's gas that would come in there by the register. Well, I was stealing from the man. I'd put gas in my car. I was a thug. I'd do anything. Amen? Some of y'all sitting right there, your little angelic halos turned up. You just won't confess nothing. Sort of like that woman said, "You really go to prison and preach to them people?" I said, "Yeah, hon. The only reason I ain't there, I didn't get caught." Well, God told me, go back to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, showed me the amount is $300. He said, "You give him that, you tell him you're sorry." And pulled in, sure enough, there he was. He's died now. I sure am glad I got that took care of. I went in there probably 15 years ago, maybe 20. Said, "Mr. Casson, I want to tell you something." He didn't even know me. I said, "Would you come out here?" And he looked at me. I said, "Mr. Casson, this is Ken." He said, "Oh, Ken, you've lost a lot of hair." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Mr. Scott, I want to say something. I had to come up here. I told my wife Sunday I was supposed to come do this. I said, I stole from you when I was a boy, and I want to tell you, I got saved. And God's told me to come back and give you this that I stole from you and tell you I'm sorry. Boy, you're talking about the Holy Ghost filling the sidewalk up. And you're talking about a preacher that just got loose. Let me tell you something. That may not mean nothing to some of you tonight. But you're looking at a man, I don't like my conscience bothering me. You hear me tonight? I know preachers all around this community live like the devil for 40 years. Call themselves a pastor and a preacher. All I know to say, I'm not saying it won't never happen to your preacher, but I'll say this, as of tonight, I thank God I've got a conscience. So you can do with that whatever you want.
Won't be right on my I won't be right on my cash. Mark 6, 1 through 4. Look at here just a minute. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Look right there. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that you may have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. And thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, you better know this verse, honey, will come to pass. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly.
I've seen preachers get up and say, I'm giving $100. Everybody else that won't give $100, well, everybody there may not can be give $100, but their dollar may be more than his $100. In the eyes of God, do you hear me tonight? It's not the gift, it's the giver. Am I preaching tonight? A millionaire, $100 ain't nothing to him, but somebody making $400 a week, $20 is a lot of money. Won't be right with my cash.
Right with my Acts 7, 49. I want to be right at the crossing, buddy. Man, what an example in this Bible. It's amazing what's in this Bible if you read it. If the cable would go out about 9 nights, amen. You know why the forefathers know so much Bible? They didn't have charter. Dish Network. Ain't that right? Luke 7:49. Now, I want to be right about this. Turn to Acts 7. I want you to look. I want to be right at my crossing. Acts 7:49. Now, here is a story about Stephen. Stephen is a man that was in the early church that was filled with the Holy Ghost, and God began to bless his ministry. Boy, he was a preaching. He done upset all the religious people. He done got on their buildings. He said, listen, them temples, y'all make it all stuff. He said, listen, God don't dwell in temples. He dwells in men, what he said. He got them upset because he's throwing off on their temple. Now, verse 54 of Acts 7. When they heard these things, they was cut to the heart.
Now that's Bible preaching right there. Preaching don't need to mess with our mind. It needs to go through our heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. I've read that out. I've studied that, Brother John, from a lot of different sources. Some say that they railed on him, and some say they really got on him and just chewed him up. Whatever it is, they didn't like what he had to say. But watch this, verse 55. Brother Joe, you're talking about the word but. Here it is, but. He, being full of the Holy Ghost. What's that? He's full of God. And he ain't full of himself. Why does the Bible tell us to be filled with the Spirit? Because we leak. And we must... A filling of the Holy Spirit is a life process. It's a daily living of confessing and forsaking. He being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly. And he knew where to look, didn't he? Into heaven. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Am I preaching to anybody? And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Jesus stood up. It's some things, friend. It's some things that Jesus just won't take sitting down. And that's the stoning of his preacher. The stoning of his children. Y'all know this morning, I still ain't got over that this morning, what happened to me in this book. When the children of Israel cried, he heard. I can't explain to y'all what happened to me here this morning. But I can tell you one thing. Silver and gold have I none. I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. Not yet. Maybe 20 more years of it, I may be. Not yet. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran on in one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet named Saul, and he never got over that day. His conscience bothered him from that day. Paul, the great apostle, he wrote about it down the road. He simply took his coat off and thrown it down, and he never got over that sight that he seen that day. His conscience bothered him. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin on their charge. He said, Lord, don't put it on their account. Whew. I don't know if it's dawned on some of y'all what he just said. Watch this, when he said this. He left this world and woke up yonder in his world. He fell asleep. I like what my pastor said. Boy, they just rocked him to sleep. Lastly, I want to be right on counsel. Man, I want to. I tell you, I'm tired. I am tired of not reading the directions and getting it half finished and say, uh-oh, where's the direction? Want to be right on counsel, right on conflict, right on cash. Want to be right at the cross. And I want to cross right, folks. Is anybody in the house want to cross right?
Listen, when I meet you in glory, I don't want to meet you with my head down. I want to lift my head up. Hey, hey, I'm glad this is a dressing room for eternity tonight. Lastly, I want to be right at the cross. Turn. Luke 23 tonight. Miss Sherry, if you'd come for me, please. We need a Miss Jennifer. Miss Jennifer here tonight. We have a pen. Brother Larry, where's Brother Larry? Come, Brother Larry. I want you to play something for me tonight. Boy, I want to be right at Calvary. I want you to watch this. If you got a pen, you got to bear with me. Give me about 4 minutes and this sermon be done. Bear with me. I want to show you an amazing thing. I want you to pull your pen out. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 23. To Luke 23. One of the greatest passages on the cross that it is. And Brother Larry, you can sing something for me tonight. Whatever what you want to do or play. But I want you to watch what happens now in verse number 32. Luke 23 and verse 32. I want to be right at Calvary, and I want you to help me here just a minute. I want you to take your pen or your pencil, and I want you to follow along with it. I want you to underline just a couple of things. Verse 32 of Luke 23, there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary. It's the only place in the Bible that's mentioned is Calvary. Once was enough. They crucified him and the malefactors. Now here it is. Circle this. One on the right hand and the other on the left. You got that? One's on the right hand and the other's on the left. Circle that other on the left. They said, Jesus. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. And they parted his raiment, cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And they derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked and coming to him, offered him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. A superscription or a sign was put on the cross. And it was written in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew and said, This is the King of the Jews. Now here's our word come and play again in 39. Watch it. And one of the malefactors, circle that. Now, according to that statement in verse 33, he's on the right side. Is that right? And one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, underline that and hook it back up in there to verse 33, he's on the left side. The one's on the right and the other's on the left. The other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said, Which one? The other on the left. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, not them, him, the other on the left, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now what's your point, Pastor? This is my point. There's been a whole lot of folks placed at the right side of Calvary. They've grown up in Christian homes. You had the best mama and daddy that life could give you. You've been raised up in church. You've known about the Bible all of your life. You know something about it. They took you to Sunday school. They took you to Bible school. You've been placed over there on the right side of Calvary. But you're just like him, lost and on your way going to hell.
But something happened that showed me this sermon. God showed me this in my house. This is what the Holy Ghost told me. He said, Ken, there's been a lot of folks placed on the right side of Calvary, but they've never been reached at Calvary. And I'm glad, even though, Brother Jason, the other was on the left side, Brother Joe, he was reached at Calvary and placed on the right side, which is the saved side. Tonight, I want to ask you something. This simple little sermon. Has God touched your heart about anything? If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, maybe you've grown up and you've been placed at Calvary on the right side, but you've never been reached. You know how you get reached? Just the way He was, by grace. Lord, remember me. And he reached over there on the left side and got him. And now he's on the right side. Come tonight, my brothers and sisters, sing.